Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, boy. It's what you need, boy. We about to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letter spills slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in a snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous and you gotta right to be, cause if somebody would have done that shit to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history, you know what I'm saying, hey, my people's in a place, let's
y'all
know I'm
trying
to,
tell me what y'all to do, it's time for all of your, see that rock and rolls in your voting rock, think your mind says I'm better than y'all, don't stop, 5, 6, get up inside the mix, 7, 8, no time to hesitate, so let's rock and roll.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and shot or relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count on 2,
it's
tell
me what y'all
to do. 3, 4,
it's
time
for all
your.
See
that
rock and roll
in
your voting rock.
Think your mind
says
I'm better than y'all, don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your voting. Back and undo our actions, change what happens, dissect the fractions, a time to rewind and be recorded absent, for real, cause these memories is photographic, pornographic, pushing me close to madness, head heavy like I'm tripping on acid tablets, yesterday as I recall was all fabulous, I thought so, but now I feel like shots hitting my torso, spent a lot of time and trust in the wrong place, fought a lot of fights, rolling with the wrong ace, love, stronger than pride, weaker than disgrace, I need room to think and space. But solid as a rock shall not disintegrate. Thoughts racing like they lunatics on the interstate. Real, yeah, ill, yeah. My people's in the place, tell me how to solve. Here we go.
1, 2,
it's
tell me what y'all
to
do. 3, 4, it's time what for all yours. To test rock and roll, then you're rolling rock. Then you rock to the rhythm and jazz. Don't stop, 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, it's time to motivate. To test rock and roll, then you're rolling rock.
Evening listeners, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Tracy L. Bell, and whether you are online or by phone, I would like to thank you for tuning in to tonight's conversation. Here we are another Wednesday in the middle of another week called Hump Day, and we're talking tonight's conversation, how did black people become the face of COVID-19? How did black, brown, and Latino people become the face of COVID-19? the virus known as the coronavirus. You know, some people that I've known have passed away from the virus, and at first it was rumored that African-American people were not getting it. We were, like, susceptible to it. And now, all of a sudden, we've become the face of COVID-19. And I will be entertaining your calls in our studios tonight. That number is 516-595-8098. Again, that number is 516-595-8098. You must press 1 for the host cue. How did black people, people of color, become the face of COVID-19? As the U.S. climbed more than 10,000 coronavirus deaths on Monday, state health officials grappled with the unequal impact it was having on African-American people, black Americans. The disparity is especially stark in cities like New Orleans, Chicago, Detroit, Louisiana, where high concentrations of African Americans live. Louisiana has the fourth largest number of COVID-19 cases in the country, and the majority of the COVID-19 deaths are in New Orleans, where black Americans constitute 60% of its population, slightly more than 70% of the deaths there, they're saying, are from coronavirus. And these are African Americans in the state of Louisiana. So how did black people become the face of COVID-19? We're going to really delve into this topic tonight. On April 8th, New York, the state that has more than a third of all cases in the United States, released data on race for the first time, and New Yorkers made up 18% of the deaths of COVID-19 in that state. And this was outside of New York City, although African Americans are just 9% of the population. So in the Big Apple, Hispanic and black people have died at rates 5 to 6% higher than the percentage of the population they make up. So those are some serious numbers. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump called the impact of the coronavirus on African Americans a real problem. Yes, I would say that it is a real problem, because this is what is showing up strongly, he stated, in the data. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, we all know who he is. He's on President Trump's coronavirus task force. But he added that, check this out, pre-existing conditions that are most prevalent among African Americans is what I'm going to say is killing them with complications due to coronavirus. And those conditions include, are you ready? Obesity, asthma, heart disease, and diabetes. They're saying that these are all factors of pre-existing conditions that are killing people who are stricken with the coronavirus disease. For those of you who may be just tuning in, our conversation tonight, how did black people become the face of COVID-19? Low-income people of color are almost more likely to have jobs that can't be done remotely. I mean, some of us are blessed to be able to work remotely, to be able to transition into a remote position or be updated remotely. But people of color, a lot of people of color are not likely to have that convenience. So, therefore, they're more likely to be exposed to the virus because they have to work in essential jobs, so to speak. while you have more affluent professionals who are able to work from home, and they are less likely to have access to high-quality private testing or medical care. The underlying conditions that are often listed as risk factors for the coronavirus complications are very prevalent in African Americans, but this is what is supposedly killing them from this virus. But we have to admit heart disease, diabetes, and asthma, and obesity, they were all there prior to the virus. Therefore, this states that, of course, that's an issue. That's an issue because we have to do something about it. So what is it that must be done? A COVID-19 response must address the pervasive racial injustices at the federal, state, and local levels. There is still a lot more to learn about the virus, and I hear this every morning on the news. It's frustrating, but this is what is said. There is a lot more still to learn about the virus, and the fact that it's still foreign is very disheartening. But the reason for this racial divide is rooted in governmental failings and bias at federal, state, and local levels. At the federal level, President Trump espouses racist talking points. He blames the first black president for lack of face masks and champions policies that discriminates against black and brown people. Since taking office, the Trump administration has overseen the repeal of numerous federal anti-discrimination and economic justice policies and regulations. So how are we going to win? How? How do we meet these challenges? So let's consider the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. 100 years ago, black people in the United States were being lynched in the South, denied the right to vote, Jim Crow laws were at their strongest, and mortality rates for conditions like tuberculosis, pneumonia, were 2 to 3 times higher in African Americans than they were in whites. So when the Spanish flu hit this country, thousands of black people had just arrived to northern cities as part of the Great Migration. They found themselves redlined and relegated to substandard housing because there's always a catch to our come up. Medical historian Dr. Vanessa Northington Gamble, she observed that black physicians and nurses of the time not only fought for better health care, but for a range of political and social reforms to address the compounded vulnerabilities that were concentrated within black communities. And is that still the case today? Of course it is. Of course it is. You have McDonald's in almost every other city, but they're in black communities. You have liquor stores almost in every other city, but they're in black communities. So, amongst these reforms, black health professionals fought for better sanitation management and improved housing conditions in the overcrowded urban tenements where blacks lived to slow the spread of the Spanish flu. So today, because we have the same thing today, the black community, particularly low-income households, remain vulnerable. And they remain vulnerable because in order to provide meaningful protection and support for all members of the community, a COVID-19 response must address the pervasive racial injustices at the federal, state, and local levels. So, in short term, we start by taking these steps. And I'm going to tell you something. I watch the governor's news conference every day, New York and New Jersey, because those are the two states that I'm concerned about. New York, and New Jersey. Those are the press conferences that I normally watch on a daily. So in the short term, we start by taking several key steps, and I'm going to list eight of them. Number one, provide free testing and treatment in locations that are easily accessible to the most vulnerable, and this includes Black communities. And I know that they just opened one today in Edison, New Jersey. Two, collect and report accurate demographic data, including race, on rates of infection and outcomes. Three, release from jails and prisons vulnerable people. Now, I know that has been happening. I mean, in our area, because I've been hearing it on the news, because someone was released from jail recently, and they died the next day from COVID-19. So if there are any others affected, they must be released for treatment, if nothing else. Four, remove reentry barriers by ending punitive criminal background screens for housing, employment, and public benefits. Because those returning home from prison or jail, they're going to need food, they're going to need safe, stable housing conditions, they're going to need employment, and they're going to need health care. So these barriers need to be removed so that they can receive this help. Five, provide equitable relief for renters. And I did hear that a lot of rent relief has been provided to people who are renting. I'm talking about legitimate relief for renters, because my assistant, Raven, she sent me an article the other day where a landlord, I think it was somewhere in Atlanta, wherein he was given rent relief to female renters in exchange for sex. So I don't think that's acceptable, but this is what's been happening. But profitable, equitable relief for renters, because less than half of all Black people own their own home compared to 73% of white households. Many governors have suspended mortgage payments. This is true for those who are struggling. But to ensure fairness and support for all communities, this must be coupled with a rent suspension. A rent suspension. That's another way to help. And that's my fifth point. Six, impose a moratorium on court fines and fees and related penalties, including driver's license suspensions. And I think maybe 2 minutes before the show started, we received an email stating that President Trump was giving an update on coronavirus, and he was providing something to judges. I couldn't read the email in its entirety because at the time I was multitasking, but I think this is another thing that's being looked at, a moratorium on court fines and fees. Seven, support workers organizing for better conditions and demand that any additional federal and state pandemic relief put people, not corporations, first. People need to be put first. At a minimum, essential workers must receive hazard pay. And again, I think that this is something that I just heard the other day, that essential workers were going to receive a hazard stimulus for $25,000. They were going to also get free health care, paid family and medical leave, and safety standards. I think this is what I heard was happening, because these things must be put in place to protect them from COVID-19. You have some first responders who work in these different developments, nursing homes, healthcare facilities, hospitals, who may get sick with the virus. We hope that's not the case, but just in case they are safeguarded with these policies. Eight, protect the right to vote. Because everybody's talking about the election in the fall and what's going to be done. This is going to be a very crucial and important election. Protect the right to vote in this fall's presidential election and ensure that Black voters are able to cast their ballots and have them counted, even if social distancing measures are still in place. And lastly, I have to add, people, black people, brown people, my Latino brothers and sisters, we have to start eating right, eating better. You do better when you know better. We have to cut out all of the soul foods and the fatty foods. It's okay once in a while, but as a daily diet, it is not a good habit to practice. We need to start exercising, even if it's 30, I'm going to say 20 to 30 minutes a day. Even if you have to do a case of stairs, even if you have to do squats, start somewhere. We have to load up on vitamin C's and able to build our immune systems. We can't build a strong immune system if we have junk, garbage, and all kinds of sugary foods in our system. We have to cut down on the fast food. I was in the market the other week, and I was on the phone with someone at the time, and I said, wow, this McDonald's drive-thru has been packed all day. And I knew because I drove past a couple of times. It's like everybody was driving through at McDonald's. Everybody is driving through at Wendy's. Fast food will kill you. It is not good for you. We have to go back to basics. We have to go back to greens and spinach and raw vegetables. We have to go back to that. We have to go back to meat proteins or beans or no meat at all. These are things, these are diets that we can implement, changes in our diets that we can implement to do better so that we are not always a statistic. And when I think about it, when I think about the statistics that they name, do you know someone who is obese? Yes. I'm sure we all know someone who's obese. Do we know someone who has asthma? I do. I know at least two people who have asthma. Do we know someone with heart disease? Yes, I know someone with heart disease. And these are all people of color. And I say we have to do better. You can build your immune system naturally. It's a mixture of ginger, which is an herb. It can be found at the supermarket. Lemon, apple cider vinegar, water, honey. Mix it, hot water. And you drink it, and it's a great immune builder. You can load up on cutie pies, these very little tangerines that I love to eat daily. That's a natural source of vitamin C. These are things that we must implement so that we are no longer the face of disease, that we are no longer the face of obesity, that we are no longer the face of asthma, that we are no longer the face of heart disease. We have to change our way of living. We must do better. We must strive to live healthier. And as we try to stem the spread of this growing pandemic, we also have an opportunity to take ambitious steps toward a more racially just democracy. And we have to reimagine health, reimagine healthy, thriving communities for all of us. For all of us. If you don't like something, you change it. If you don't like your surroundings, you change it. If you don't like what you're doing, you change it. Change it, because change begins with us. And it is up to our lawmakers and other stakeholders to ensure that this also happens. And it is up to us to take steps in living and eating healthier and holding them accountable. I dedicate my show tonight to those who I know that lost their lives to COVID-19 because of underlying health conditions. My heart goes out to all of them, because it is not enough for them to have our prayers. We need to act, and we need to act accordingly, and we need to act swiftly, because the only thing that's going to change is change itself, and that is only when we do. And we can only do better when we know better. So let's do better, let's know better, and let's be better. That concludes our show tonight. I thank you for tuning in. Remember, you can like us on Facebook at Conversations of a Sister, or you can join the conversations that are always happening on my blog. And my blog people were a little bit PO'd because we published the show late, and we apologize for that. But the conversations are always continuing there at conversationsofasister.com. Until next week, my prayer is that you be well, that you stay safe, that you are healthy and at peace. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good night.
I had a heart that just wouldn't seem to heal. No joy blowing through the wind. Your touch I couldn't feel. Near my end I heard your voice speaking comfort to my soul, saying when you're weak, that's when I'm strong. Now I'm so glad no more loneliness, no more cloudy days, no more crying in the midnight or the fears that just won't fade. No more loneliness, no more skies that all seem gray, for I'm resting your blood-stained hands forever and always. Though I may fall, I hear your call telling me that I am free. I'm free indeed. No more loneliness, no more clouds. No more crying in the midnight or
yes.
The fears that just won't fade. No more.